there, it seems like it's all somehow connection.
Yeah, I'm trying to see the. I can't see the pipe. Can't see it.
Second time for.
Okay, Rabbi Sai, our limud halacha every day is the schus refuah of Yosef Dov Ben Chayle, Shtav Refuah Shlem, Vakar Vesoshal Choyle Yisrael. So, we were speaking yesterday, we started speaking about blowing the tekiyas. We spoke about blowing tekiyas from Rosh Chodesh and the reason for blowing the rest of Chodesh Elul. We've spoken about when to blow the tekiyas, whether only in the morning or whether also in the afternoon or whether also in the evening. Now the question is, what do we blow? Now, I have a vague memory, and I might be wrong, but I think that when I was a child and I grew up and I davened in Grove Lane Shul, that we only blew one tekiah every day after davening.
I also remember that.
You also remember that, yeah? I think we only blew one tekiah every day after Aleinu, and that was it. Yeah? You also. So everybody seems to remember, as children, when we were young, 50 years ago, whenever, 40 years ago, 60 years ago, yeah? I'm talking 60 years ago and plus, that I remember that we just blew one tekiah at the end of davening, and that was the Elul blowing. It doesn't get brought down anywhere. Here it says, Toikim Tekio Shvorim Turo Tekio. It says, Tekio Shvorim Turo Tekio, which is basically what I think most people do. It says that it brings down here that that is the minig of the Kielois Ashkenazim and Elita, and Bels, Bobov, Amshinov, Vizhnitz, Lelov, Melitz, etc. So in other words, there's a common minig to blow Tekio Shvorim Turo Tekio. That's one minig. But then there's another, V'yesh Dorigim, that they blow a whole set. Tekiyah Shvorim Truah Tekiyah, Tekiyah Shvorim Tekiyah, and Tekiyah Truah Tekiyah. And that is the minig of Papadam, which is Frankfurt de Main. And it's the minig in Djerba. Djerba is an island, a very ancient kehillah. Is it off Morocco or off Tunisia? Yeah, just off the north coast of Africa. There's an ancient kehillah there, still there. People go to see very interesting things that they can see there. And it's brought down in the sefer called Keser Shem Tov, that is the minig of Kehillos HaSfardim in London over Amsterdam. That the minig of the Sfardim in London and Amsterdam. And the minig is also in Tzanz, Kalin, Chernobyl, Kamarna, Nadvorno, Munkat, Satman, Spink, and Chabad. I was last week in Brighton, and for a couple of days, I davened Shacharis in the shul there, and the Rav there is Rabbi Rader, who used to be the Rav in Woodside Park. He is a Lubavitcher, and he blew Tekiyah Shvorim Teruah Tekiyah, whole set, and then Tekiyah Shvorim Tekiyah, and Tekiyah Teruah Tekiyah. He blew a full set, not just Tashrat. Shema Bon, what do they blow in monks? They blow Tashrat. Well, everybody here, not everybody here, but quite a few people, including me, remember from our childhood that we just used to blow a tekiah after davening, not Tashrat. In Grove Lane, we blew a tekiah, and other people here remember that when they were young that they blew a tekiah, just a tekiah, yeah. Avadia remembers that, and Norman remembers that we just blew a tekiah. So you've got maybe three minhagim at least, and it depends where you go as to which minhag you follow. Well, so at the end of Yom Kippur, probably at the end of Yom Kippur, they're probably minhagim in that as well. Yeah?
Yeah, any use anyway?
For only one comfort.
What? I don't know. It's not brought down. I haven't seen it brought down anywhere just to blow its kia so far. but there must be a Makara for it. I mean, it's only there in order to wake us up.
That's right.
It's only there to remind us the eternal and that Rosh Hashanah is coming. So, you know, maybe one tekiah is good enough. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I can't.
Depends if you're a deep sleeper.
I'll ask Rabbi Kern, maybe you've
noticed. It says, how you talk HaShofar for here, will the shofar be blown in town? Ba'am lo yechrodo, and the people will not ask us. It says, Hayitoka, which is one tekiah, no?
Oh, he asked me, will the shofar be blown?
Of course, that's what it means. That's what it really means. But, could be. Yeah. Shall I carry on? Well, I don't know where this speaker's disappeared.
Kitchen.
Okay. Tom could be.
Can't get in.
Good speaking,
well, just to carry on and say, it says here, and that's obvious, but it says it's not just listening to the shofar in order to see whether or not the guy's blowing well. It's a time to reflect and to think of teshuvah. Yeah, it says a person should be misori b'tshuva, and the minig is to stand during the tekiyas, and that we'll mention tomorrow. B'liyeda.
Start your day, the Terraway, Northwest London, Thursday, Tess Elul, 12th of September, Rabbi Benji Morgan, Shlita. Hashavas Aveda is more than just the object. This week's Torah word is sponsored Lechvetzum Chanasun of Zabi Friedland and Neriyah and Elisheva Bitton Shetikia, which took place on Tuesday. He wrote Son Shuna Bas, the man Bisrol, the Shem Bisrol, the Deschus Hashuem, the Chayalim, the Milchamash, the Shalom, the Meiro.
They're singing today.
Singing.
Yeah. Warm up.
So, Poiskim B'chleid Achsani, it's good to see you, Dovi. And there's a friend of mine who lives in a town in America where there's a lot of Jews, and unfortunately not all of them are Shomer Shabbos. So, just a few weeks ago, his wife went into labor on Shabbos. Unexpectedly, so he called a taxi, but when he called up the taxi dispatcher, he said, is it possible to please have a non-Jewish driver? They said, fine, send the taxi. A few minutes later it comes, going to hospital, but he hears over the dispatcher's note that on the radio, he radios in, he says, he doesn't realize in the car, he says, have you picked up the anti-Semite yet? So the idea is that we often live in a world of misconceptions and also a world where, unfortunately, there's people who don't know everything but would like to ideally keep more. And the question today is, we've got the mitzvah in this week's parasha of Hashavas Aveda by Shivoi Saloi, and how does this apply to us? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Gimel Amud Aleph says, if you see your friend is not your friend, even if not your friend, chaver is refers to anyone from Klal Yisrael, that he's drowning. How do we know that if you have someone who is in life-threatening danger, that you have a chiyuv to be matzil them? Says the Gemara Talmud Loima, Leisamoid al dam reyacho. The pasuk says, "State leisamid, you don't stand idly by, while your reecha, while someone from Klal Yisrael is in life-threatening danger." So the Gemara asks, goes on a bit later. The Gemara says, "We learn it from leisamid adam reecha, but mehocha nafka. We learn it from here, mehasam nafka. Don't we learn it from a different place? Avedas gufa minayin. If someone loses something, avedas gufa. If someone loses an object." Something which is materialistic, a material object, you have a chiyuv, which is in this week's parasha of Hashavas Aveda. So the Gemara wants to say from there that if already you have a chiyuv of Hashavas Aveda to return someone's material object, you have a chiyuv Hashavas Aveda to return something even more important, which is ensure that this person lives and their neshama, so to speak, is returned to them as they're about to lose it. Says the Gemara, Ime Hossam, if you would have learned her there, half a minute, I would have thought, you might have thought that the same way we say if someone loses a watch or an item or material object, You don't have a chiyuv. You have a chiyuv to go and return it yourself, but you don't have a chiyuv to be mitrech or meiger. You wouldn't have a chiyuv to go and pay money and cost out of your own money and cost and resource to be able to be to the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So therefore, if you would just learn that when someone is Tevea B'Nahar, you would only learn that from the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda, then you wouldn't know it would have to come at your own cost. So that's why we need the posuk of Leisama Dal Dam Reachal. So the Minchas Chinuch, So the Minchas Chinuch in Kemetz Mincha Reish Lamed Zayin, he asks a question. He says, why does the Gemara, when it answers why we need both Leisamed Al Dam Reacha, why do we need it on top of Vahashivay Seloi? He says, why does the Gemara answer something else? That we know that if someone is completely negligent with their own Aveda, that you're not Mechiyav to return it. So if someone leaves their expensive watch or diamond there and they lose it because they had it hanging out their pocket, and you say to them as they're going out the door, you say, what are you doing? They say, oh, fine, whatever. If I lose it, I lose it. Or even Ma'abla Das, like he leaves it in the middle of the road. That already, you're not Mechuyev to do Hashavas Aveda on, because he's done it, he's been negligent, he's been Poshea. So I asked Minchas Chinuch, if we would only have the Pasuk of Leisamed Al Dam Reacha, if we would only have the Pasuk of Hashivaisa, you would only know that you're Mechuyev to return or to save someone's life if he wasn't being Poshea. But if someone does something stupid and negligent, in the same way with their own material object, you have a chiyuv, you have no chiyuv to return it to them, so too could it be by a spiritual that you wouldn't have to save someone's life. If he's done something stupid and jumped into the sea at a time when it's dangerous. So that's why, says the Minchas Chinuch, why does the Gemara say that's why we need Leisamed Al Dam Reacha, to tell us that even in such a situation where someone's been ma'abed atzmo l'das, where he's done something completely negligent, that you would be that you're still mechuyev to save him, that you need Leisam al Dam Reacha. So the Minchas Chinuch comes out with a psak, and also a Biruch official in this, as I say, Chav Ches, he comes out with a psak that there is no, because of this Gemara, that Taka, there is no chiyuv hatsala on someone who is ma'abed atzmo l'das. If someone's peshea and someone's done something stupid, then from the fact that the Gemara doesn't answer, that's the reason we need Leisamed Al Dam Reacha, and it answers about renting or hiring or using your own resource, vice the chois, that the chiyuv of hatsala of hatsalas nefashos does not apply when someone does something negligent. This is the how the Minchas Chinuch paskens. Lemaisa, Rav Peskim don't agree with the Minchas Chinuch and the Biruch official, and they hold that it's that the chiyuv of saving someone's life is even if he's doing something negligent. And they've got doctors in the room, and often you have people come to a doctor and they'll say, oh, my health isn't in good shape or whatever. And the doctor looks at them and they say, well, what are you doing? Are you sleeping enough? No. Are you eating well? No. Are you smoking? No. Yeah. And the person says, yes. He said, off you go. So such a doctor is following the Minchas Chinuch's Mahalach. And there's other doctors which say, even though you are being negligent, we're still going to look after you. The Chalkas Yev in Chilik Beis Chayshim Mishpat Simon Peches is that he brings that there was a Rav in a town who wanted to paskan and go like the Minchas Chinuch with someone who was being negligent with their own body. And the Maisa Chalkas Yev is Chilik on him, and he says, you cannot apply this Ma'abed Atzmo L'Das by money. Why? He says, because money, objects, materialism, they belong to us. They are ours. We have a decision whether we want to use it however we like. And if someone takes it, it's within their right, it's within a person's right to be able to take his diamond jewellery or necklace or expensive watch and be ma'abed it if he wants to. It might be about tashlis, but if he wants to. But says the Chalkas Yeyev, when it comes to someone being ma'abed atzmo l'das, someone being negligent with their own life, it's not his. It's nashay kenuya l'shamayim. And also the Kli Chamta in Parashas Kiseitzei Siman Vav, Siman Kuf Beis, he's married he argues with the Minchas Chinuch. And the Maisa of the Rambam, Minchas Ritzeach, Perek Aleph Halacha Dalet, says very clearly He's talking about when you're talking about the nerag on the goel hadam. He says she'ein nafshu shel zeh hanerag kinyan goel hadam elo kinyan hakadosh baruch hu. When it comes to our lives, then they're not ours. Therefore, when it comes to our lives, you can't apply the same thing of saying, well, if you learn by an Aveda, that someone who's married, that's one does. No, faket. And even if someone themselves wants to, even though the Minchas Chazon says you don't to save their life, says the Chalk HaSoyev, no, this person has no right. He's taking almost, it would be like someone's taking someone else's Aveda, someone else's object, and trying to destroy it. You don't have such a right. It's the, our neshamas are not ours. So this is the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda, which interesting in our industry at JLE, it comes up quite a lot. Why? Because the Minchas Chinuch, the mitzvah Reish Lamed Tes, when we talk about the Chi of Teichacha, which is what today's Kiruv is, the Minchas Chinuch in Reish Lamed Tes says, V'nira l'dechi of ha-teichacha hi, by the way, Teichacha is when someone's going to listen, yeah? So, so when we talk about Teichacha, it's how you get them to listen. I haven't yet found someone who said, you ask them, why are you shomer Shabbos today? They say, because someone slapped me across the face or threw a rock at my car. I haven't yet found someone who said that. But the chi of Teichacha is that you get them to a place of moving. Now, when people do throw stones, it could be as the chi of Mechah. That's a different thing. But if, in terms of getting people to change, the idea is, for the Lachit, you get people to change. So it says in the Minchas Chinuch, V'nirali, the chi of HaTeichacha hi, the chutz ma'isazu, oit mischayev, besides the mitzvah Yechayev, you have the mitzvahs, asay of leisamid al dam reyacha. The leigara mi teveya benar. It's no worse than seeing someone who's teveya benar to eva al leisamid. V'gam, says Minchas Chinuch, v'ashivoyisa, l'rabbi yisaveidas kufoy. Now it's interesting because the Minchas Chinuch himself, we're saying, didn't apply the Avedas Kufoy to Avedas Nafshoy. But when it comes to spiritual Aveda, says Minchas Chinuch, if you see someone who's losing their own spiritual identity, you have a chiyuv of Hashavas Aveda. That is the chiyuv. L'isam adam reyacha Hashavas Aveda. What's interesting is, according to Minchas Chinuch, that we learnt in someone's physical ability to live is under peril, Minchas Chinuch says you're not mechuyev to go out. And there's a shaila, definitely 100, 200 years ago, when you were dealing with people that had decided for themselves to leave Yiddishkeit, let's say the time of the Haskalah, before we got to the stage of Tinuk Shanishba, right, when people were actively choosing, then it could be that according to the Minchas Chinuch, he holds that you don't have a chi of Teichacha and you don't have a chi of Hashavas Aveda. In the same way he holds when Teveya Benar, if someone's doing something negligent, you don't have, then so too, it could be when someone's being spiritually negligent, you don't have a chi of Hashava. But like we said, Rav Poskim argued the Minchas Chinuch, and we write, this is where we learn it from, it could be that even if you have, for example, in our Kehillah, if you have someone who's being over Navira, Bufahesia, let's call it the off the derech sugi, which is it's a different sugi because again, even that is not always there's often a bigger story than what the way it presents itself. But if someone is actively making a mazed choice, according to Rav Poskim, according to Minchas Chinuch, you don't have the chiyuv hashavas aveda of their neshama to them, but according to Rav Poskim, you would. So, I'll just take you to 7 years ago in JLE, we run a Rosh Hashanah explanatory shiurim on the side, so people who haven't been used to coming into davening at all have a place to come and can hear shiurim, and throughout the day, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we have that facility. So I was running one of the shiurim on Rosh Hashanah, and it was 7 years ago, and this boy called Nick came in with his sister. Never seen him before, and welcomed him, wanted to know, you know, who he was, etc. And he said to me, I said to him, where have you come from? He said he's come from his reform, they call it a temple, whatever, I don't want to call it a shul, whatever, the reform place where they get together. And mostly Yidden, hopefully, I'm not sure. So I said, what happened? He said it was such a joke that I turned to my sister and I said, what are we going to do? So she said, well, why don't we go to JLE? So I don't know how they found us, but on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, without internet or cars, they managed to come all the way from South London to find us. It must have been a long walk. And by 10:30 in the morning, they were sitting there and they sat there the whole day. So they asked a number of questions, and it's very interesting because it's often mitamida yismikulam. It's often at times that, like this, that the questions are asked that we've taken for granted. So I was giving a shiur about the Aseres Yemei Teshuva and how Rosh Hashanah is, you know, the first of the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. And they've got the machzor there in front of them, so they say, okay, so let's get on with the Teshuva. And they're looking for where is our Teshuva? What are we supposed to do? Malchias, Zechronos, Shofaros, it all seems a little bit irrelevant. And they went on to ask 4 or 5 questions, which throughout the discussion, it kind of, I was like, I'd prefer if you wouldn't have walked all this way. Now that you're here, who knows? By the way, I'll tell you the questions, what they asked. But the interesting thing is that this person went on to become a fully fledged Ben Torah, and they actually live in Hendon today. But I don't know if it was the questions or the answers, I don't know. I'm not taking all the credit, but this is Baruch Shem they got out. That's a whole other sukkah of Chachatei Kadesh Yizkeh, of having people drive, if you know they're driving or not. It's not today's discussion. So the first question was, if we've got a Aseres Yemei Teshuva, then how do we go from Rosh Hashanah and we lose 2 days of our Teshuva process? Elul, we've got the Slichas, it seems like we're heading towards the Teshuva, and then suddenly comes Rosh Hashanah and we lose 2 days from our Teshuva process. The other question now is, what is today? Today, everything's written on Yom Kippur, it's sealed. So whatever we're trying to do with Rosh Hashanah, and whatever we're finishing with Yom Kippur, surely it's the wrong way around. Surely it would be much better to first do Teshuva. Whatever you're going to ask me what Malchus Zecharin Shoshefras is, then let's do Teshuva, and then afterwards we'll have the sealing at the end of the 10 days after we've had a chance to do Teshuva. It seems like we get these first 2 days, we do this Malchus Zecharin Shoshefras, then we spend time catching up, and then... Oh, that's the same. Excellent. Okay, so we'll come to that. The other thing, I haven't said what we answered, I just said what the questions were. And the other question was, and this is something which has bothered me for a long time. It's brought down Shulchan Aruch that because the Sifri Chaim, Sifri Meisim are Pasuach between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, that a person should try and do these extra things, which are the Kabbalahs we take on now during Elul and the time and that goes on afterwards. And their question, which seemed right at the time, because I was saying people take things on. By the way, when we used to have LA Fitness under JLE, then the busiest day of the year was January 2nd. January 1st they were closed. January 2nd there was a queue of people who all wanted to sign up for their New Year's resolution at the gym. Someone once told me, I've already spending so much money at the gym, I need to go there too. That was but people are up with the New Year's resolution. So I said to them at the time, I said, listen, what Chazal tell us is you don't need to take on something that you've got to, you take on something for this time. Pas Palta is something that you know, you're living in town, that during that time, there's not going to be a Yiddish bakery opening the day after Yom Kippur, but the Shulchan Aruch, what Chazal tell us is, just because the Sifri Chaim, Sifri Meisim, they looked at me, they said, listen, Rabbi, if you believe God knows that everything that's going on, then what, you're telling me that you're trying to fool him, that because Sifri Chaim, Sifri Meisim are open, therefore, and you know after Yom Kippur, you're going to go back to that, not keeping this level of kashrus. So what is the point of it? Are you just fopping Hashem? What is the point of it? And the final question that they want to understand is, what we're told that Faket, on Rosh Hashanah, you shouldn't mention the Chatoim. On Rosh Hashanah, it's not the Pshat, it's that you can, on the side, we don't have a sneaky or shamnu at the back. If you feel like, so if you're saying it's all part of the Shemach Zechron Shev for us, we understand, okay, we'll come to that. But why is it that we're told you shouldn't, like, what, just somewhere sneak in that, you know, you feel, you're sorry, it's one of the days of Tshuva. And this Bifrat, all that Avrit of the build-up to Rosh Hashanah is not about, it is about the Slichos and the Kapara. So, Baruch Hashem, the bell rang, and I could run back inside, and I sent another rabbi in to answer them. the answer which I shared there was something I heard from Matsyo, Zichron Livracha, and he said the following insight, which really understands and gives an insight into the whole Avodah of where we are now, where we're going through Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and also all the way to Shemini Atzeres and Sukkos. He says that, he said in Moshul, there was a new Tsar, new king in Russia, and he came in, and he decided he's going to be different to any other previous king, any previous Tsar. He is going to visit every single peasant, every single person in their own home. So he writes a royal letter to every person in the entire land, and the horse and carriage draws up with a peasant outside Jaime's house, and it's got a seal on it, and it's beautiful. And the problem is that Jaime couldn't read. So he knew it was something important, but there was nothing he could do with it. So he asks his wife what he thinks she'd do. He says, listen, go down the road a few days down from this village to the city. There'll be someone who can translate it for you. It takes 3 days. He goes down the road. He finds someone who'll translate it for him. He said, what? The king? The Tsar is coming to my house? So it takes him 2 days to run back, because it's going to be imminent. In the next few weeks, he's arriving. And before he even says hello to his wife, he starts fixing up the crate that they use for chairs. He starts fixing up and putting it back on it and making a little scribble of a picture on the wall. And his wife comes to him. She says, what's going on? She says, no, the king, he's coming. He told me that letter. He tries to say, he's coming to our house. So his wife turns to him. She says, listen, Chaim, if the king is coming to our house and he wants to see how we live, what are you doing? You're fopping, making out as if we have backs to chairs. You're much better off keeping it with a crate as it is. And maybe if he comes, he'll give us actually some money. You put on a scribble on the wall, he'll think we're wealthy. Keep it exactly as it is. What are you doing making it, trying to make it out to be someone who you're not? So Chaim turned to his wife and I turned to Nick. And he said, my dear wife, if the king would have wanted to see how we lived, then he would have just shown up. The king told us that he's coming. It's not because he wants to see how we live. He wants to see how can we live. He wants to see what is the best version of ourselves. And therefore, this is the effort that I made. I put it back to the chair. I put a thing on the wall. It's not perfect. So Ramatio, that the Rebbe Shlomo gave us this time, if he wanted to see who we are, then he wouldn't have told us. Like the Goyim, they don't know when the Yom HaDin is. The fact that Rebbe Shlomo tells the Yom HaDin, says Shulchan Aruch, we know it will take time. We know that you're not going to get to a village where you have Pas Yisrael. You will eat Pas Yisrael, but you're showing the Rishon, this is who I want to be. If Mashiach was here, if I had enough money, if I didn't have all the turkos, this is the level of kashrus. This is the human being I would want to be. It's not a joke. It's an interview. It's a time of where you're interviewing. It's like when someone goes on a shidduch. You put your best foot forward. You say, oh, if this is what I'm going to wake up in pajamas with creases over my face, what's the point of getting dressed up with a Shabbos stick of a goddam and a hat? The answer is because when you go for an interview, when you put your best foot, this is the best version of me. And in fact, when someone goes for an interview, it's not about the past. And this is why I said to Nick. I said, it's not about the past. Not about what you did in your last job. In fact, the worst thing you can do in an interview is to start fiddling with say, listen, by the way, in my previous job, I got fired because I fiddled with the timesheet. Don't mention the chatoim on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is totally not about the past. Rosh Hashanah is totally about who do we want to be. It's an interview for a year, for a life, for this year, and not only for this year, for next year and the after. And you say to Rosh Hashanah, it could take me 10 years, it could take me 20 years. It might take me a long time till I get there. But this is the version of me that I would want to be if I had everything going for me. And therefore, because Sifri Chaim, Sifri Mason are going, because it's like an interview, therefore you put your best foot forward. Therefore you don't mention the Chatoim. And therefore it's not fopping, because you're saying this is the real me. In fact, what we're trying to touch during this time, this Yemei Aveda is, it's interesting, just during Shacharis this morning, I took a few extra moments during Moedim, just to think of what we're grateful for. And Al Shanach Moedim Loch, Rashi in Brochel says an amazing thing. Al Shanach Moedim Loch is just thanking the Rebbeinu Shleilam for the fact that we can thank him. Just on the Haidah itself, Al Shanach Moedim Loch, just to thank Hashem. And I thought to myself, Benji, is this really you? Even just like this morning, this happened in the back of my head as I'm davening. I'm thinking, like, what? And it's like, Elul, but is this? Are you really going to do this in Adar next year? Like, you'll be long gone. All this. The truth is that we try constantly to be out to avoid it, but we know that the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Matzah is pre-printed for next year. We will get back there. The answer is, doesn't matter. This is a time where we can touch a level of greatness and kiras and akim, where Hashem says, that's what I want to see. This is the real you. Yeah, there's things, the Yitzhar and things get in the way, but the chance of Rosh Hashanah is to actually interview. What is Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is like going to the doctor. Yom Kippur is a chance of someone has a chance to be able to completely turn his life around. Yom Kippur is a chance where someone says, I can heal you from anything. So the person will strip down, say, listen, this on my shoulder, I had this pimple here. Maybe there's something you can do. This doctor can heal anything. Says Ramatio, that is why Rosh Hashanah comes from Yom Kippur. Why? Because when we think that it's all about the past, then we are saying, I didn't have a chance. No, the whole Yomei Teshuvah, the whole Avodah is how we look to go forward. And of course, when someone starts a new job and you finally have a new job, I remember my first day in JLE, they gave me a desk. It's a long time ago, and then I'm Michael them already, but when they gave me the desk, then I sat down, and the previous person who'd had this desk had left like his old Sforum on. There was like a notebook, and under it, I found a piece of like gum. And it was like, oh, it's just not a geschmack way to start. It's not a geschmack way. First day on the job, and you feel like you've got like this, all this mess behind you. So Yom Kippur is that day when you just clean the slate clean. That's what Marcel said. It's a day where once we know that you're starting fresh and it's all about the Aseh Tov, then just, you know, just before you start, let's just make sure that we get rid of it. Rav Lichtenmiller says an unbelievable thing. Rav Lichtenmiller says that most of us spend our time focusing on the Yetzer Hara in a completely adverse way to what, in fact, we fall into the trap. He says that he gave a moshel of a person who used to get deliveries from, he's talking about LA to New York, but it could be from Manchester to London. And he had this delivery parcel service. It was his van. And the guy used to park everywhere and everywhere. And as we know, it's a civil offense if you park somewhere. So because of that, he was the one, the owner of the van was the one who had to pay for all the fines. So he said to him, listen, Yanka, these fines, it's enough already. Like, can we have 1 week where we just don't get a £35 here and £45 in the residence permit, and it's £65 when you're blocking someone's driveway? Can we just, and that's when you get it within the 14 days. So he said, can we just have 1 week where not? So he says, next week he comes, he says, you're not going to believe it, we didn't have one parking ticket. He says, great, let's start unloading the goods. He says, you know what, I was so busy avoiding the parking tickets, I forgot to pick up the parcels. Says Rav Lichtenmiller, that is us. That is, we can spend our whole time avoiding this Lashon Hara and avoiding this thing that we're so busy with the Sumera that we forget that really what we're trying to do in this world is Aseh Tov. It's building, what we're trying to do is chap as many mitzvahs as we can, chap as much learning as we can, chap as much tefillah, avoid it. That's avoid it. Avoid it is not avoiding the obstacles. Of course you avoid the obstacles. Of course you want to have a clean desk. Of course before you go, but that's not what we're here to do. We're here to pick up the diamonds. We're not here to make sure we don't get dirty. Of course you want to make sure you don't get dirty and you want to be clean. But that avoid it, the focus is not on avoiding parking tickets. That, of course, you don't do. But avoid that, what it means to be an Eved Hashem is to be focused, like you say, on Malchus, on Zechronus, and Shofros, of finding our place and saying, listen, give me 10 years, 20 years. It's going to take me time to get there. But give me that time. So I just want to finish off with this mad story that happened to us in the summer. We were learning the Parashas Re'eh, and I asked the question to my son. We were learning. I said to him, why do you think it says Re'eh? You know, it could have been... Usually we say Shema. You listen to Rebbeinu Shleilem. Like, listen. There's bracha and kol in front of you. Listen. What is the re'eh? Okay. There's many pshatim, but the pshat that he came up with, which obviously is brought down and brought down in quite a few places, is that really the whole idea of listening. You can understand it, but it's logic. Re'eh is when you see it, when you taste it. Tamu uru'u kitav Hashem. When you see something is when you open your eyes to what it is, and. It reminded me of a story, and then so I told him this story, and then in the afternoon we went out, this is what happened. So I told him about the Ponovich Rob, and it was in the middle of the Milchama, and the Germans are advancing in Israel, and he brought the chief rabbi of Israel at the time, Yitzchak Herzog, to show him this hill where he was going to build a yeshiva, and he showed him this is where the yeshiva is going to be, this is where the dormitory is going to be, this is where the dining is going to be, and the chief rabbi of Israel at the time looked at him and he said, he realized this person, Nebuch, you know, he'd lost his family, he'd lost his mishpacha, it's the middle of the war. Nebuch, you know, this person's delusional. So he said, Rav Yosef, I think you're dreaming. So the Ponovich Rav said to him that I may be dreaming, but I'm dreaming with my eyes wide open. And eventually...
I believe you, I'm not schluffing.
Yeah, I'm dreaming, not schluffing. I'm dreaming with my eyes wide open. Which is the idea of re'eh, of keeping your eyes open. Like, yes, we as Klal Yisrael have been dreamers, but we keep our eyes open with the bracha. Anyway, that afternoon, we were in the car in the middle of the mountains in Spain, and the idea is that you keep your eyes open to see the bracha. Like, the Rebbein Shleilem can do anything. That's what it means to be Aminim. You keep your eyes open, we dream. That's what the Aseres Yemei Teshuva are. That we dream big and we dream with our eyes open and it looks delusional and you think, what, you're going to become such a tzaddik? Yeah, that's how we've survived throughout the goddess, that we believe the impossible can happen. We dream with our eyes open. So that afternoon we were in the car and a whole bottle of Coke spilled on this boy, on my son Michal. And he's there and he's got, like, he was wearing shorts but his things are sticky. And he said, I just wish, we're in the middle of like a village in the Spanish man, he says, I just need like an empty tap. I said, what do you mean an empty tap? He says, no, like a place where, I said, you mean like a fire hydrant, like they have in America? He said, yeah, like with a tap that would come out of it, yeah? And then I could just clean myself. And I'm telling you, I took a photo of this because this happened, we've never seen something before. To the right of us, 2 seconds later, in front of a bank, I can show you the photo, I've got it here. There's a fire hydrant with an empty tap coming out. He jumped out, he cleaned himself, and he came back in. He says, hey, you see, you can dream big. The British Lion can do anything. The message of Rosh Hashanah Kippur is that we are often more fearful of the greatness of what we can become than the failures of what could happen to us. We spend our lives so fearful of who we could be. The Rosh Hashanah Kippur is a scary time. The Yomim Noiroim, it also comes from the thing of Yirah Shemayim, Rav Kook says, is Riyah Shemayim. It's to be able to see who we can be. Rosh Hashanah Kippur is that window into the potential that we have. And yeah, it might feel like we're fopping, but like Rav Tzur says, it's not. Like, if the Rebbe Shem wanted to see who we are, he wouldn't have told us he's coming. The fact that he gives us this time is so that we can do the greatest Hashavas Aveda, which is the Hashavas Aveda to ourselves, of what is rightfully ours, which is the Hashavas Aveda of when we'll have the ultimate Ka'ula of Ez Hashem, from here of Yomeinu. Amen. Yeah.